Fantasy Freaks and Geeks, what's up? James Cohen here. You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast, joined alongside, as always, by the WizKid from Wisconsin behind the glass, Alex Gelhar. For some reason, people think we have beef. I don't know why.
Well, yeah, that was a funny thing on Twitter. It's just, you know, in fantasy, there are differing opinions. And right now, you and I are differing on some opinions on some players.
This
and,
is baffling.
I'm waiting until the end of the season when my opinions are proven wrong.
Very good. I like it. Marcus Grant, MG in the house as well. Oakland's finest. Or Vallejo's finest.
Vallejo's right? finest. That's right.
All right, there you go. And Adam Rank joining us as well with his low-riding, flat-brim Chicago Bears hat. Looking good, pal.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But you don't understand the plight of a blue-eyed gentleman and how bright lights, like in the studio right here. How
the plight of a blue-eyed gentleman.
How the light can play havoc.
Oh, boy.
I think it was Josh Hamilton who famously said that the day games in Texas were killing him because of his blue eyes.
That sounds like some sort of emo 90s
album.
Oh, my
god!
The plight of a blue-eyed gentleman.
That
thank you.
Is really not cool. All right, at all. Hey, let's get right into it, man. We're trying to burn through this. By the way. Obviously, as you know, it's our second fantasy podcast of the week. We're going to be going to switching over to now a twice-a-week format.
Does that mean I don't have to be here next week?
No, that would mean you would actually have to be here twice as many times as you are. I know a big shot like you, you like to come in on your helicopter and your private drivers takes you. Look, I get it, okay?
Wait, you're the one who has an Uber coming here. I'm in my 2003 Corolla,
buddy,
with no roof.
It is a unique beast.
But I have a Uber because my right shoulder is non-operational.
What
There's
does that
a big
even mean?
Difference.
How is that? You can't.
I can't drive. I can drive now. It's 5 weeks out. I could drive now. But I'm just saying, when I was taking the Uber in, it's not like I'm sitting here like Fabs or Akbar. Okay, I don't just take the Uber or have a private driver just because.
Cry, baby.
All right.
All right.
Let's get the top headlines.
I want that drop, by the way.
Top headlines. Let's do it.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
All right, of course, the top headline in the fantasy and in real football continues to be Martavis Bryant facing a 4-game suspension. For his violation, allegedly, of this NFL drug policy, and that according to NFL media insider Ian Rappaport. I glossed this guy, my March to 1100 guy.
Martavis Bryant.
Martavis Bryant. Am I still being held to so that?
First of all, yes.
Am I still being held to
absolutely.
That?
So.
First of all, absolutely. And now that prediction's up in smoke.
Wait, I'm going to be held to that. I'm being held.
Well, Rank just wants to see you in high heels.
Dude, it's not. Like, listen, that's part of the thing. You can't put qualifiers on this.
Why not?
You said he's going to have 1,100 yards in 15.
I'm kind-hearted enough to let you slide on this and let you get a do-over, but I'm not the only vote.
But everybody knew this was coming. Why do you think the Steelers...
What do you mean everybody knew this was coming? Everyone did not know this was coming.
This is why the Steelers were talking up Marcus Wheaton so much during the preseason. Ben Roethlisberger was like, yeah, this guy looks great. Like, a lot of people, don't you talk to people in the building and come up with this stuff? Like, they say, oh, yeah, like, there's a suspension coming down.
Oh, that's
But we can't say it until it happens. That's part of the problem of working behind the shield is that we can't let anybody know until it
comes out. Okay, that's fine. You had no idea that Martavis Bryant was going to be suspended 4 games. It might
get well. Then fight. It doesn't matter.
Right. Hey, listen. He's going to appeal. He's going to appeal. We do know this. It may get knocked down.
A game,
maybe 2 games at most. We're not even
sure. How many
sure,
games
but,
did Le'Veon Bell get a knockdown from?
One game.
To
2-1.
Three to two.
Okay. Yes. 3-2. So whatever. I don't know exactly what's going to happen with Martavis Bryant, but March to 1100 clearly. In jeopardy. We might have to put this one to a vote.
No,
we'll put it.
There's no vote.
There's a vote, pal.
Listen, he's got plenty of time to still get 1100.
Oh,
yeah, he's
look
exactly.
At the, look
you.
At these guys.
Look, no,
guys. Go ahead.
When he came into the lineup last year, he sparked that Pittsburgh offense.
Sure.
Our research team had some things like they had 70 more. Roethlisberger had 70 more passing yards per game. They were scoring more per game. They were scoring more touchdowns. Like. When he comes back, he is once again going to be a focal point of that offense, and he still has a good chance. I think it's a saucier bet now, and you should stand by it.
Okay. All right. You know what? We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. All right. Preseason
you're
week.
You're trying to get out of it. Once for the second consecutive year, you're trying to get out of it.
How?
Wait, you tried to back out on Nuke?
No, I did not.
Did you wear the high heels last year?
No, that was you, pal.
How did I see you roped me?
No, because he crushed 1,100 yards so fast. I was like, hey, let's still give the viewers a little something. I'll bump it up to 1,200.
It should have been you, but you should have been the one.
I bumped it up to 1,200.
But you should have been on the hook for wearing the heel. Like, I had nothing to do with it. I'm an innocent bystander.
You just got roped in. It's true. Look, that's a story for a different time, a different podcast, maybe next week when we have more time. All right, preseason week three storylines to watch for. Obviously, with Jordy Nelson gone, a lot of folks are going to be seeing how well Davante Adams is going to be doing. You know, where do they mix in guys like Jeff Janis, and how many more targets is a guy like Randall Cobb going to have? Marcus Grant, I ask you this. Look, I reached. I truly do believe I reached for Davante Adams in our NFL Fantasy Live Experts League. I took him in the fifth round, early in the fifth. I know it was a reach, and yet the reaction in the room was still a collective groan. In the fifth round, too high for a guy like Davante Adams? Because I knew he wasn't going to come back to me on the sixth.
That's his price now. I mean, that's the asking price for Davante Adams. So because I have been on record saying the last couple of weeks, go out and get your guy no matter where you got to take him. That's now the asking price. My question to you is, you not mentioning Ty Montgomery's name, is that just simply an oversight, or is that because of his alma mater? Is that because of his choice of university?
Oh. It's a Cal Stanford beef.
Very good, Mark. I hadn't thought about that.
It's a Cal Stanford beef, no doubt about it. No, look, hey, man, once these guys come to the league, I root for all Pac-12 guys. I really like Ty Montgomery a lot. I think he's got a ways to go to learn the offense and to become a more complete wide receiver. But, no, I think he's got tremendous upside. Just not this particular year. I think this is the year that we actually see Davante Adams really come to his own.
May I offer a suggestion?
Please.
When you're doing your drafts this weekend, and ours was on Thursday, don't draft a kicker or defense and use one of those two spots for somebody like Ty Montgomery might go a little bit sooner, but I know in our NFL Fantasy Live League, I took Jeff Janis for the express reason that if he comes out and it's like, oh, wow, this guy is clearly going to be the number three, then I'll hang on to him.
Sure.
If they don't play him at all and he doesn't look like he's going to get much playing time, boom, I'll cut him in week one Saturday and pick up Seabass.
Which is what you do all
year
long. Which is so funny.
It's cool of the league, too, that like nobody picks up Seabass. So it's pretty much a given.
Because he's not very good relative to other professional kickers in the National Football League.
That's only your opinion and based on points. So
which are irrelevant in fantasy, let's remember.
Eagles. I feel like that you're kind of fat-shaming him for that.
I'm
appalled.
Oh, wow.
Who brought up Jay Gruden?
I just said. Oh.
Nice. Oh, wow. Nice. All right.
Listen, the Eagles running back situation, we DeMarco Murray obviously coming off of a year where he carried the rock about 900 times. How much will they use him? We were talking about it on the show today. You know, Akbar and Elliott seem to think that, you know, he's going to get north of 250 in terms of touches. I'm just not sure. I'm not sold on that number. That being said, I still think even if he were to get anywhere between 220 and 230, he's a great value running back because you're seeing him go mid to late second round.
Yeah, that's the 250 touches. I mean, depending on how often he gets in the passing game with Sproles there as well and all their great wide receivers, that might be a tad high, especially because why we were talking about the storyline now is last week when he finally got into the preseason, him and Ryan Matthews both got run with the first team,
right,
and both scored touchdowns. So it could very likely be more of a very profitable committee. They both could succeed, but you're right. I feel just much more comfortable with him in the RB2 workload, but I mean, you could see him if he gets the touches being an RB1 again.
And the fact of the matter is the Eagles are going to score a lot of points. I mean, they have.
And they run a lot of plays.
They run a lot of plays. There seems to be a lot of opportunities there. Elliott made a great point. Even if he gets 200 carries, if he's averaging 5 yards a carry, not bad. And you got to think if he is doing that and he does get 200 carries, how many touchdowns does that translate into? You know, he's going to be pushing double digits. 8, 9, 10 sounds awfully reasonable for a lead back in an Eagles backfield.
Yeah, when you start getting late into the RB2 category with guys like Freddie Morris, who yields a lot of touchdown looks to the guys playing behind him, what's the difference? And DeMarco Murray's playing in a better offense, more dynamic, more opportunities to put up points. So I like Murray. I like Matthews super late, too. He's one of those guys. I like to load up on the running backs later on where you just start picking guys up one after another. And unfortunately, I missed out on Ryan Matthews in our NFL Fantasy Live League. But that's a great value, and somebody who's going to come in and steal some touches. He's going to be a good flex guy going forward this season.
So I hate to say it, but Akbar actually had. I mean, he had a great draft. He really did. He got DeMarco at the very, very end of the second round. It's great value.
So, I mean, really.
It feels weird to say, though.
Well, there were some other questionable picks.
How many carries do we really think DeMarco Murray is going to get?
200?
Right. So he's getting 200 carries, which is fine, which is about where I think he gets this year. Right?
Okay.
Let's go back. Last year, Lamar Miller was a guy that went off the board in like the fifth round in a lot of leagues?
Yeah.
Something like that? DeMarco Murray or Lamar Miller had just over 200 carries last year.
That's
interesting. So why all of a sudden now is DeMarco Murray suddenly a value at this end of the second round when he's going to get that same number of carries?
Same number of carries, but you know, it's what he can do with them.
Yeah.
And I would also say this. We know, hey, look, Lamar Miller last year averaged five yards carry? 5.1.
Yes.
So he made the most of it in a Bill Lazor offense, which by the way is very similar to Chip Kelly's offense. But I think scoring opportunity. I think there's just more scoring opportunities, Marcus.
I mean, maybe. And look, I like the Eagles offense. I'm big on Jordan Matthews, Nelson Aguilar, all these guys here. But let's also keep in mind, this is not Oregon thundering through Washington State's defense, right? I mean, they're professional defenses that they got to go against. And yes, they will probably have those weeks where they drop a 40-burger on somebody, but then there's going to be those weeks where they struggle along and maybe they get a couple, three touchdowns, and those opportunities just aren't going to be there. I mean, I wouldn't truly be surprised if you see DeMarco Murray's numbers, his yardage totals drop by about 1,000 yards.
Wait a minute,
maybe his touchdowns dropped about 5 or 6.
But he had 217 attempts in 2013, had 1,100 yards, 9 touchdowns. That put him around what?
He was the 13? RB7, I think, that year.
Okay, like, you don't think he could be RB7 with that? Like, 2-7?
He had a decent amount of passing work, though, too.
I think the passing work goes to Darren Sproles. The touchdowns could potentially go to Ryan Matthews. I mean, I just think there are other issues.
I'll say this. Ryan Matthews has not been good around the goal line. Never has been, and I can't imagine he's going to be. DeMarco Murray, on the other hand, you get down there, he looks pretty darn good. I think Matthews is going to steal a lot of work in between the 20s, and he's going to steal some work in the passing down situation. And yeah, you're right. Darren Sproles there as well. It could eat into a lot of his production, but can he make the most of it? I hear what you're saying, Marcus. He could totally get 200 carries, get 1,000 yards, maybe 1,100 yards, and get 3 touchdowns, and it would be a disaster. But I would say this, though, in that Philadelphia offense, he's going to have some opportunities. All right, we move on. Dallas Cowboys. Look, we've talked about this to death. Can we just go, who's the guy you're drafting, period, and give me the round? We'll go around the horn, Alex Gilhar.
I mean, I've said on the last podcast I'm avoiding this backfield, so that's why it's a storyline to watch, is if
pick
one of these guys emerges.
Give me one guy.
Sure, I would draft Joseph Randle in the 7th round.
Marcus Grant.
Joseph Randle in the 6th, but I'm with Alex. I'm staying away.
Adam Wright?
I would take Darren McFadden much later. I think I had an opportunity to take Joey Randle at some point, but I went with Dre Ellington over him. Because I had a weird...
You went Andre Ellington in the draft.
I went Amir Abdullah as my number 2, as my RB2, and then I went Ellington as my flex.
Darren McFadden where? 10? 8 round? 9? I don't know.
A lot of it, I don't like doing that because it depends on what the flow of the draft is.
Fifth round.
What if no running back has been drafted in the first 6 rounds?
I'm gonna go Darren McFadden as well. I think he pays off later in the year. I've been saying that. Early Darren McFadden, late in the season. I can kind of see Darren McFadden carrying your team later in the season if you can get him in round 8 or 9. Done. I'll take it. All right. Cardinals running back workload split. We know about Andre Ellington. He disappointed a little bit last year. There's David Johnson in the mix, who they just picked up out of Northern Iowa, I believe. And then Chris Johnson still lurking. CJ2K just still lurking in the background somewhere. But
fine lurk.
That's what you do on the sideline when you have a hamstring injury.
Constant lurk. They literally have 0.75 working hamstrings in the Cardinals backfield right now.
It's kind of impressive.
I don't understand what's going on. What's up with the hamstrings? Adam Rank, I see you with a very dismissive wave of your hand.
About Chris Johnson.
Yes, yeah. Please.
I love Andre Ellington. He was injured last year. I think it was a foot injury.
It was a big foot injury.
It was a foot injury. It wasn't a hamstring. And when Carson Palmer was the quarterback. He targeted Ellington a lot. His production was so much higher with Palmer in there. And when you're drafting him in the position where you're taking him, it's just going to be like a flex guy. It's tremendous.
He's super good in PPR, too, because I think didn't Kareen, on one of our stats mavens, send out the thing of the targets for the Cardinals when Palmer was in there? And I think Ellington was actually second behind Fitzgerald.
Yeah, he's a monster when Palmer's back there. So I'm very, very happy with that selection.
Can he stay healthy? I guess that's the number one.
That's
question.
Everybody.
That's everybody.
I mean, you didn't 3 weeks ago.
But he's a smallish back, and I know that's always a concern.
Football's a collision sport. It's a concern. It doesn't even have to be a collision sport. Jordy Nelson got injured just running.
Very good
point. That's just the luck of the draw.
Yep.
I mean, if you wanted to devote some time, if you'll give me an hour next week, give me all 300 players, I will tell you a reason not to draft every single player. You could easily come up with it.
Stay tuned for how the Grinch stole your fantasy league.
Fantasy's supposed to be fun.
I know. That's why I don't like the negativity bringing up old stuff.
How about this? I will say this. I'll bring in positivity. I'll bring David Johnson into the light.
He can, you know.
I love David Johnson, and the reason being is because, you know, you talk about Andre Ellington, explosive player. I get it. Smallish stature makes me a little bit concerned. But David Johnson, man, you know, you look at the physical attributes of the guy. I know he's still learning the running back position, but the physical attributes of the guy, he's, you know, over six feet tall, 215 pounds, pretty husky dude, ran a great 40, has a great vertical leap, and he produced last year as well. Great catcher. I mean, unbelievable hands at the running back position, and I know Mike Mayock really likes the guy as well. You know what, man? I've been putting my hat in the ring and really taking up for David Johnson, and especially for the price. My God, you're seeing him go in the 12th, 13th, 14th round. I'll take him there all day.
You think he's going to outscore Andre Ellington?
Boy, putting me on the spot, aren't you? What are we doing?
Yeah.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
That's how this show works.
Hi, is this your first Fantasy Live podcast?
No. I got to pick one of these guys?
You know what? I'll go. I'll do it. Let's do it right now. I'll say David Johnson outscores Andre Ellington.
Wow.
Frisky.
Okay.
I thought about giving him the falling sound, but let's just move on. It's there.
All right. Can Melvin Gordon rebound from he didn't look too terribly good when he got in there. I know a lot of folks are concerned because of the whole Wisconsin running back thing, blah, 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 blah. I get it. Melvin Gordon, does he rebound? And where do you project? What kind of projections are you having for this explosive rookie?
I'm looking at the situation there where he's just got two guys ahead of him who are playing pretty well. Danny Woodhead is one of the most underrated running backs as long as he's healthy. He's a monster catching the ball out of the backfield.
Right.
What was the stat? He
had 76 catches in 2013.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. And Brandon Olivier has looked pretty. Is that not how?
I
believe it's just Oliver, pal.
I want to punch it up. You're in Southern California. You're soon to be in Los Angeles. You want to have a little bit
soon to be in Los Angeles. Oh boy, where are we going?
Now the Chargers are the ones going.
So Melvin Gordon.
There's a couple of guys ahead of him.
It sounds like you're not high on him.
I'm not high on the price, and it's, you know, he's going in the fifth round. You know that.
Yeah, it's a little steep. It's a little steep.
If I was in a draft and I saw him falling and I had my roster my starters filled out, or at least I had my two running backs, two receivers, and a flex guy, and I saw Gordon there, then I'd be like, all right, because like we're talking about players at the end of the season who could be producing for you, I'm in.
Definitely Gordon.
In the first five rounds, I would like to have somebody who I know is going to be an immediate starter and producing right from the get-go.
Man, it's amazing how quickly those things turn. Because remember on draft day when the Chargers took Melvin Gordon?
Exactly.
Everybody was like, oh, my God, this is great. Ryan Matthews is in Philly. Melvin Gordon's going to take over. And then he was a little banged up. And then we see him play, and it's like, this guy.
You know, it reminds me, too. It's funny. It's almost like ignorance is bliss here because – I mean, Todd Gurley hasn't even played, and we're seeing a lot more hype behind Todd Gurley. And because we saw Melvin Gordon struggle a little bit, in limited action, by the way, all of a sudden,
I think it's not just that. It's also, as Frank pointed out, Danny Woodhead was also a mystery in the backfield coming back from his broken ankle in 2014.
Right.
So for him to come back and get a lot of hype in training camp and then look very good in preseason action, I think those things coupled together are what have people like sliding down a little bit on the Melvin Gordon hype train.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. But Trey Mason there in St. Louis, too. I mean, that's what I find it very interesting that it's happening to Melvin Gordon. Right
well,
now.
Part of the problem to me is that we've seen these guys play. I watching the Big Ten last year, David Cobb at Minnesota looked like the best running back of that group, and not being, you know, a draft nick on the level of Daniel Jeremiah or something like that, but as somebody who just enjoys watching college football, I would watch those games because they would be playing. They always played in the 9 a.m. game here on the West Coast, and he'd be like, that David Cobb's pretty special.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a surprise to me that he fell so far in the draft. And then when you watch the SEC games, which started at 12:30 out here, and you would watch Gurley, you know, against SEC competition, just destroying people.
Manhandling
you're
guys.
Like, oh, my God, this might be the greatest. Like, I don't really remember Herschel Walker, but, like, when he's breaking that guy's records, that stands out to me.
I think the thing about Melvin Gordon, though, you know, you talk about watching these guys play, man. You weren't impressed, by the way. He was very
– okay, I was impressed by their offensive line. And I would be watching it, and you would be like, it would be like watching and playing Madden on Rookie, where the holes were just so wide open that you figure, like, well, anybody who's earned the starting job at Wisconsin should have a lot of success running behind that offensive line.
I was so impressed with his fast twitch muscles, man. I mean, the holes were there. You're right. But, I mean, first of all, it's college football. The holes are always there. And the fact that he's able to read those defenses and go and just hit it hard. And the fact that he could also catch the ball out of the backfield so well and really turn upfield quickly and really make something happen. I don't know, man. I like the way Melvin Gordon played. It was different than Monty Ball and obviously very different than Ron Dayne.
But then again, it's not, because you're always a little weary of the fact that system always produces running backs who have great numbers and produce on the collegiate level that don't necessarily translate to the NFL level. So when you're watching it, you do have a little bit of cynicism about, like, how big are those offensive, like, what other running backs in the country, like, who could we be pulling from other teams and just sticking back there? Like, when Alfred Blue was at LSU, he was playing behind Jeremy Hill. Like, if you had stuck him behind Wisconsin's line, you're like, what would have been his projections?
Probably good. Don't mean to jump in. You guys should make sure to log into our draft that starts in like 30 seconds we're also doing on our phones here.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. So, by the way, I feel like the lesson in this whole discussion.
How am I supposed to draft and do this podcast at the exact
very carefully?
Because you're a professional, James.
I feel like, but I do feel like the lesson in this whole discussion.
Am I though, Gilhart?
Was I first pick? Oh, hell yeah. I didn't even know.
The lesson here is don't play. You know, I mean, if you just, like, you just rest on your college laurels and then you wait for all the draft hype and you don't play until the games are for real, then nobody's going to, you know, nobody's going to doubt you.
All right, we've talked about Melvin Gordon for like six hours. We should probably move on.
T.J. Yeldon has mastered that so far.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
And he fell in the draft.
Although I don't particularly like T.J. Yeldon this year.
Well, here, while James is getting loaded into the draft, I'll segue for us. You're speaking of T.J. Yeldon falling in the draft. Why don't we talk about some of our favorite 2015 fantasy draft bargains?
Oh, I see what you did there.
I have no idea how to log into the draft.
You just click on the fantasy app.
See, this is where you go to the NFL fantasy football app,
which you can all download in
which
the
I
App
have.
Store.
I have
and
it.
It's fantastic.
And it's an amazing app.
You swipe on your teams until you find the one, and it'll say you're drafting now in big red letters, and you click on that.
Okay, but I just did that, is what I'm trying to tell you.
And you should be in there, and then once it's your turn, you'll be able to pick.
Apparently it's not. Okay, so it doesn't matter, but we're talking about fantasy bargains.
Yeah,
we are.
A podcast here. And by the way, this can all be found. We just updated these things. And it's funny, man. You know, I get a lot of questions on Twitter like, hey, you know, we're still seeing this guy on this list and this guy on this list. But we wrote those lists back in, like, April. We just updated them, so they're good now.
Yep.
NFL.com/draftkit
and /fantasy. They're all over the place.
Sign up today. Sign up right now and get it done, man. It's good stuff. But we've got our updated top 10 list. The one we're going to talk about right now, fantasy bargains. And, Adam Rank, you were talking about trying to be positive, the positivity. This is positivity right here.
Give me
a guy on your list that you believe is going to be a fantasy bargain.
It's funny because I know Money likes to talk about confirmation bias, so I do want to talk about Doug Martin, who was on this list and who I ended up getting as one of my bench guys, because watching him play in the preseason, he's been ppretty good. And knowing Lovie Smith as I do, you know what? You guys are so wrapped up in your draft. I want to veer this off course
okay. Oh,
and take
here we
this
go.
In a different direction.
Oh, boy.
Start to
here we go.
How condescending is it? No, I won't do that. But I like Doug Martin a lot this season. I do like the system that he's going into. So he's one that I was looking forward to. Got him on my team. Feel like I really rolled the dice with Amir Abdullah. I drafted him in the fourth round. I have a feeling I'm going to be burned by the Abdullah pick, bailed out by Doug Martin. And at the end of the season, I won't even be talking about how I wasted a fourth round pick on Abdullah. I'll be like, remember when I drafted Doug Martin? Who had this monster? But that's the way it is. Like, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know by now that I drafted CJ Anderson and I drafted Jeremy Hill last year. I rarely talk about the fact that I drafted Terrence West and some other curtain jerker who ended up folding, or Cordarrelle Patterson.
Ooh.
Sure. So there was somebody else too, but you know, you hit and you miss. Some other guys, if I can go through briefly while you guys are getting into your draft client, Ryan Tannehill.
Which I still can't do,
I know.
Yeah, you got Calvin Johnson, by the way.
No, Marcus. Yeah.
I just got Calvin Johnson?
Yes.
Oh, horrible. Okay, let's go.
Tell him to stop the draft and redo it. I put I don't want to be doubling up. AJ Griffin. I put Matt Forte on the
– I was just about to ask you. He's a guy that I'm crossing off my list. I don't have that many guys on my do not draft list. Matt Forte is one of them.
Why?
I just think with Mark Trestman being gone, I think he's gotten a lot of
work. I realize he was good before Trestman got
okay, yes, I realize that. And I also realize that he's gotten a lot of work. A lot of work. And I'm a little bit worried that, look, this is not a great Chicago Bears team. If they start getting behind, they've got –
they're going to take him out on passing downs?
No. I just don't know if he's going to get enough work to justify the price that you're going to have to pay for this guy, because he's going in the top seven or eight picks, is he not?
I was actually shocked when I believe it was Matt Money Smith took him in the first round. I put this list out thinking, like, if I'm getting Matt Forte in the second round,
yeah,
I'm very happy with that. And that's where I was seeing his ADP using, like, the fantasy football calculator and some other various resources that we have at our disposal, and seeing, like, second round for him, because I'm a big proponent of going receiver, but if the draft dictates that, you know what, one of these good running backs is going to be remaining there because I got – Jeremy Hill in the middle of the second round, that I will go ahead and do that. And Matt Forte is one of those guys that if I'm in the middle of the second round or later in the second round and he's falling, I will definitely jump in. I think that this offense is better suited for him. They will be more run first. Talking to some people, I don't believe that Forte really liked his role as the sole pass catcher.
Right.
He's said in, like, numerous articles he's excited to get back to that, like, kind of ground and pound, like, run first style. I think
under Lovie Smith.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just he got burnt out or he didn't like being out in the space that much, but he caught 103 passes. He ran a million routes.
All I know is I just grabbed him with the number six spot in our draft. So,
well, there you go.
I'm good with it. I mean, I'm with Ryan. This guy is a very talented guy, even before Mark Trestman showed up there. I wasn't surprised that he caught 100 passes with Trestman there, because I went back to the fact that Mark Trestman,
right,
he was the OC in San Francisco, got 87 receptions for a dude named Derek LaVille. So,
hello.
Matt Forte was definitely going to have a big year. I still like the guy, and I think he falls in that gray area where if you're in the middle of the first round of your draft, like, you know, are you going Antonio Brown, Aaron Rodgers, but is, you know, Matt Forte, Marshawn Lynch, I think all those guys kind of get lumped into that mid part of the first round.
Another guy that I have circled here in terms of fantasy bargains, I'm really getting distracted by this. I can't draft on my phone. It's upsetting me right now. I'll say that Shane Vereen we're seeing going super, super late. I know we've extolled the virtues of Shane Vereen. I wrote about David Johnson in our draft kit as well. Teddy Bridgewater, another guy that I think is going late in fantasy drafts that could provide some real value. Marcus, give me a guy on your list in terms of fantasy bargains that you've circled and said, you know what, I got to get this guy because he's going too late in drafts.
Well, a guy that I think that I have my eye on, I have yet to be able to get him in a draft because it just hasn't worked out timing-wise, but
okay,
I have become more and more enamored with Tyler Eifert as a fantasy commodity this year. I think what happened with him playing just one quarter of one game last year, everybody kind of forgot about him, and seeing what he's done so far in this preseason has reminded everybody how athletic he is and
right,
why the Bengals loved him so much coming out of Notre Dame. And again, I think this is kind of the Andy Dalton corollary, where everybody looks at Andy Dalton and they're like, and they think that, you know, it's going to impact AJ.
That was a very good impression of people that look at Andy Dalton.
You know, and so, but I think that, you know, you look around and it's one of these things where the weapons around Dalton will help make him better, and I think Tyler Eifert's one of those guys.
Can I ask you about, you put Arian Foster on this list.
Well, he was a bargain until, like, you know, 24 hours ago.
Well, he was a bargain right until after I stole him in the Experts League draft when the reports came out that he's been working out at the facility and they expect him back by, like, week 2 to 4. So, because I got him in the little tease, I got him in the 7th round of that Experts League draft, and that, for a guy that could be a top 5 running back, I totally got why you had him on there.
When it was looking like, you know, maybe week 6 or so, he was really a value, a bargain guy. Then it goes to week, you know, being 2 to 4 weeks, and, you know, then all of a sudden it's not quite so valuable. Although I will say, I don't know if you've seen, your sources in the know say that an asteroid may destroy Earth within 4 weeks, so now that pick isn't looking so valuable.
Let's get Bruce Willis on the case.
Yeah.
All right, Gilhar, give me a guy.
Let's see. You know, we've talked about some good ones. The first guy I put on my list is still Stevie Johnson. I really like him in San Diego this year. He's the kind of pass catcher that should thrive with Phillip Rivers, and I wouldn't be surprised if he and Keenan Allen put up a similar amount of production, both probably around 1,000 yards and maybe in that 6 to 10 touchdown range. But the fact that you can get Stevie Johnson for basically free at the end of a draft, I think that's a tremendous bargain. And the numbers won't be that big between the two of them, I think, at the end of the season. So I'm going to wait and take the guy that I can get in round 15 as opposed to the one in round 5.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about our very own Fantasy Live League draft. It's funny because, you know, I'm always torn about this because no one cares about your fantasy team.
Yeah, but
it's like talking about a bad beat in poker.
Except
no one cares.
Except for when they do. They read mock drafts. Like, this is basically, this is like I was saying to you, this is our mock draft.
Right.
Except this one was for real. So this is how we really feel about all these players and the experts.
And that's why I'm always so torn about it, because it's like, hey, we're going to be talking about our fantasy team. But then it's
but
people actually are very curious about how this actually plays out when you got 10 guys who have been playing fantasy for a decade plus. And they're really into it, and they're every single person in this league is in the know. How does it play out? So in terms of the top four, I don't quite remember what the draft order was, but I know the top four because I was number
Akbar
4.
Was first.
Akbar was number 1 because he was last year. And then it was Elliot Harrison, and then Dave Damashek.
We need to have relegation.
Relegation, where if you come in last, you can't
get out of the league. That would make things interesting.
We have a couple of upstarts with the franchise and Matty Harmon who are ready to be in this league, deserve a chance to be in this league.
The Wiz is in.
I am in now.
Well, finally.
I agree.
How much wrangling I had to do for that.
All right. So it's got Michael Fabiano in it as well. It's got Marcus Grant.
Matt Money Smith.
Matt Money Smith is in it. Maurice Jones-Drew is in our league. And we introduced
Alex. Three-time champ.
And the three-time champ, Adam Rankin.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, hey, bud.
Oh, wow, look how that got slipped in there. All right, so should we talk about surprises? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing, and Adam Rankin will love this. The fact that Akbar had been extolling the virtues of Jamal Charles, I think Adam Rankin asked him point blank. So if you got the number one
He has the number one overall pick. Are you taking
Jamal Charles? And he said, yes, I am.
Then
he goes Le'Veon Bell.
There's a couple
going
of things
on here.
Not only that, screen.
He does it. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, he does that. There was a guy on the TV show talking about how much Odell Beckham Jr. sucks, and then all of a sudden, the second round,
boom,
right before
Odell
I pick,
Beckham.
Right before I'm looking at the board. I'm looking at the board, and I've got Antonio Brown, and the guy in front of me, who's drafting in front of me, has spent the last 65 weeks burying Odell Beckham Jr., just crushing him, telling no, he's no good. There's no way he scored way too many points last year. And I'm like, rock the freak on. I am getting Antonio Brown
and Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham Jr. I'm going to start just fist pumping and bumping everybody. And then lo and behold, Odell Beckham, that guy just takes him.
Adam Rank had the 6th pick. Michael Fabiano had the 7th pick. Alex Gelhar is the new member.
I got stuck at the back end.
He was number 10 overall. Maurice Jones-Drew was number 9, just to kind of give people an idea of where they were drafting. So Adam Rank, I really liked his draft position. He was right smack dab in the middle of the draft. Marcus, were you 5?
I was 5.
So Marcus was 5 right there. So I was 4, Marcus was 5, and then Adam Rank was 6, Gelhar at 10, and Fabiano was at 7. So just to kind of give an idea.
And you can read the full recap on NFL.com/fantasy. It'll be up today, and the upstarts, as you said, Franchise and Harmon are doing a little snark in between the rounds, so we'll see what they thought about the drafts and the picks.
I do like that.
I probably deserve every bad thing. So
the biggest surprise came in the first round, 3rd pick. Sheck took Andrew Luck.
He's been saying he's going to do this all offseason.
Third overall.
He said he's going to get one of the top two quarterbacks early. And, I mean, him picking at third, I thought that was going to be the perfect chance for him to call his bluff. But lo and behold, Andrew Luck went off the board then.
So now I do have to say this. Now, I know Akbar had been talking about, you know, Jamal Charles, and he ended up with Le'Veon Bell. I know I've been talking about taking Luck or Rodgers in the very first round. The reason I didn't do it is because I looked at the back half of the draft. I already knew Adam Rank wanted to go wide receiver, so I think I was pretty safe in assuming he wasn't going to go there. I know Gelhar wasn't thinking about quarterback going there either. We know Fabs ain't going there. So really, I had to survive one guy, or maybe two guys, Marcus Grant and Maurice Jones-Drew. Mm-hmm. But even then, I was basically... I was gambling that I would be able to get Rodgers on the comeback.
It was a smart gamble because,
out.
And you also knew Matt Money Smith was going to take Drew Brees at
right.
some point.
Oh, that's the other guy. So yeah. I knew that he. So I knew that Rodgers wasn't on Matt Money Smith's radar either. So really, I only had to survive a couple managers, and I felt relatively confident in doing that.
And that's
why
advice.
I did it.
That's good advice
to know your draft.
Yeah.
Know your
great
draft.
Advice.
All right. So first, so with the fourth overall pick, I took Eddie Lacy, and in a very Akbar-esque move, I immediately offered Eddie Lacy straight up. For Marshawn Lynch, who was
only
taken
to rescind the trade off,
who
later.
Was taken seventh overall, only to rescind it basically two rounds later, where Fab's like, "Hey, you want me to execute this trade?" And I'm like, "Nah, you know what? Nah, I'm good." And actually, I got to be honest, the reason I did
that's hilarious.
Though, the reason I did that though was because I actually felt bad about it. Not for Fabs, but actually more for you guys. Because if I had taken Marshawn Lynch there at four, which would have been a passion pick, clearly.
Yes.
I didn't rank.
Naturally.
Who would you have taken?
That's what I'm trying to ask.
What if Eddie Lacy were still there at five?
Yeah.
I would have taken Eddie Lacy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I felt
who did
bad.
You draft?
I drafted Jamal Charles.
Yeah.
So that's why I would have felt bad. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to give Fabs Lacy when really it's really kind of screwing over Marcus and Adam Rank, I think.
That's fair. What an honorable move. Plus, it was hilarious to see you
hilarious.
Put that trade out there. And then
just quickly ignore it and rescind it. Right.
It was
although I still might try to make a move. Eddie Lacy for Marshawn and Martavis Bryant, and I think he's open to it. So I don't know.
That's a little saucy.
All right. Akbar took Manning and Brady. Manning fell, what, to the fourth round?
Fourth or fifth or something. I don't know. It was an expert's league. Of course he fell.
Right.
Can we just acknowledge the fact that Dave Dameshek drafted, not only did he draft both Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson,
okay,
but he also took both Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen.
That makes no sense whatsoever. And I love him for it.
Yeah, I was appreciative of him taking. I love Dwayne Allen, but having him take him in like the eighth round or whatever, I was like, all right, thanks, Sheck.
All right, pretty good.
So he took Dwayne Allen in the eighth.
Something like that. It was early.
Was it ahead of my
guys,
tight end?
Like Eifert. And so, who's your tight end?
Julius Thomas. Thomas.
Yeah,
Julius
actually it was.
Thomas
I'm pretty sure.
Adam
Rank
got Julius
that
Thomas
was a steal.
In the ninth round.
I was mad because.
That is unbelievable.
At the 10 turn, I took Rob Gronkowski and Julio Jones. Very comfortable doing that.
Love.
However, then when I'm sitting there, you know, round 7, 8, I'm like, wow, nobody's taking Julius Thomas. Round 9, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, had I been able to take, I don't know,
it's crazy.
Julio and somebody else. Of course, you never know that, but
right.
I'm very happy to have Gronk. But, like, Julius Thomas in the ninth round is insane value.
Insane. I think that was the pick of the draft. I really do. I mean, the fact that you could get Julius Thomas in the ninth round, that's bananas. It's nuts.
And I've got two members of the Jacksonville Jaguars on my team.
Putting
my money.
Putting
my money.
Got?
Putting my money where
TJ Yeldon?
Is. Yep.
There you go.
Putting my money where my mouth is. And if I think Alex took A-Rob.
Yes, I did.
So I did not get
Marcus Grant, let me ask you this. Your favorite pick of the draft for you?
For my favorite pick? You know, I liked getting Jordan Matthews in the fourth round. I've been saying this whole offseason that I've been targeting Nelson Agholor, and every draft I'm in, somehow Jordan Matthews keeps falling in my lap.
So that's not a bad problem to have.
No, it's not a bad problem at all to have.
It's a really good problem to have.
Straight up right now.
Yeah, no, not so much. You know, I also liked, and I'm putting this out there for anybody in our league that's listening, that I just got sniped on Doug Martin. This is really irritating.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, I'm putting it out there. I have Teddy Bridgewater. I also have Ryan Tannehill. So if somebody wants to make a deal for one of those two guys, I am open to hearing anything.
All right, I will not because I have Aaron Rodgers. So I'm good. I'm good there. I got to say, I got real shook up.
Wait, you still ended up with Rodgers?
Yeah, I did.
That sucks.
That's crazy. Back half of the second round, I'll take it all day.
I should have just taken him.
I know, but you weren't going to. You're going to take wide receiver. I already knew that. I was playing you like a fiddle, pal.
I legitimately, because like how you are looking ahead, like I'm going through this scenario and just saying like I'm so convinced that Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
On my team. I'm too busy. Like I'm literally right. I have the tweet.
You're ready.
I have the tweet. And right. Midway, 30 seconds into my second round pick, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, what the? And I'm like upset. Like, where is it? Like, what's going on? I almost make him stop the draft. But like, wait. Odell Beckham Jr. disappeared. And then I see he's on. He was picked before by the guy who hates Odell Beckham Jr.
By the way, so you took Antonio Brown, number 6 overall. I thought it was a bold call.
Oh, I almost took Julio Jones.
But you've been touting taking a high-end wide receiver early, and you did it, so it's good.
I didn't realize that Jeremy Hill was going to fall so far. You know what? I honestly thought MJD. I don't want to say that I convinced him, but I looked at one of MJD's other teams that he did with a talent league here or whatever, and I think it was Celebrity League. And I'm like, dude, why don't you go receivers? I was running down every run, like, nope, don't draft him, don't do this, don't do that. I'm like, you should go receiver, and I was over and over. And then I looked at his team, I'm like, he went receiver.
He went very receiver.
I'm like, that son of a god. Like, I gotta stop talking to these people before the draft.
You know, I will say this, the most poetic pick in the draft, Maurice Jones-Drew selected Rashad Jennings. That is awesome, man.
And yeah, shout out to his backup.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to his former backup in Jackson.
That was awesome. I was like, I can't believe you ended up with Rashad Jennings. That's amazing. That's great.
That's fun.
It is fun.
Wait, can I just ask one question before we move on?
Please.
I know you love Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, I took him in the sixth
round.
I know.
Was that like just a gut one? You got the guy you loved, or were you flustered? Did you get sniped? What happened there?
Oh, no. I'm looking at the other rosters here, and I'm looking at Akbar and Elliott. And I wasn't too worried about Elliott because I don't think he's too terribly high on Tevin, but I do know Akbar's extremely high on Tevin Coleman. He needed an extra running back in terms of depth.
And he would have had 2 picks before he came back
picks,
to you. So
exactly.
All right,
so
makes sense.
I was worried that he wasn't going to fall. And again, I think okay value for Coleman would have been in the 7th round, right? But
you got to reach for the ones you love. I didn't reach for David Cobb, and money stole him from me.
Ooh.
So that's what happens.
So yeah.
I would do that. Yeah, and it's good to know, like you said, who's with you, like who's drafting around you.
Right.
Because I know I don't draft like the guy who is behind me, but Marcus, I felt, was very similar, as evidenced by him going with 2 quarterbacks that I also like, and you're just like, that sucks. And it's like, that's why I'm taking I was reaching on Amir Abdullah.
Yeah.
Probably reaching on some other, but I'm like, I'll be around early instead of being.
And get the guy you want. 100 times.
So I took Alshon Jeffery as my wide receiver 1. My wide receiver 2, this is obviously going to be a weak spot for me all year, but my wide receiver 2, Davante Adams, I took in the 5th round.
Yeah, as we mentioned on the show.
Yeah, Gelhar, I want to get your reaction to that. I know it's a reach, but that being said, I was very interested in the fact that a lot of people were upset that I made the pick there.
Yeah, I think it's just because there's a little bit that's unknown about him still, but man, if the upside is there for anybody, it's there for Davante Adams. He's not going to get Jordy Nelson's 151 targets. That's insane.
Obviously.
That was like the most ever in an Aaron Rodgers team. However, Aaron Rodgers has been talking this guy up. He's athletic. He can make the catches. And, you know, they're going to need somebody to step up. And if Davante Adams does, boom, he's got wide receiver 2 value.
All right, let's do a go ahead.
I would like to also add something into this. A little piece of advice is, again, not only knowing who's drafting with you, but it's important to know the structure of your draft as well as how you're constructing these teams, because a lot of teams vary, because we do 2 wide receivers and a flex. And I'm in a lot of leagues where it's 3
wide outs, yep.
Mm-hmm. And a flex. So when I was in the 2nd round and I took Jeremy Hill, and I'm a big guy talking about, hey, you know, receiver, once all the other receivers were gone, and this is partly because Jordy Nelson's not in the mix anymore, is I'm looking and I'm like, you know, the guy I really wanted was Brandon Cooks. I'm like, okay, of all the receivers who are available, I really wanted Brandon Cooks. And again, just rolling the dice and being like, well, counting the number of picks and thinking like, okay, I'm going to have either Brandon Cooks, T.Y. Hilton, or DeAndre Hopkins, more than likely. Just like going through those type of scenarios. So that's important to know. Now, if we had been in a league with 3 receivers, I would have gone another receiver right there. Wouldn't have gone for the running back. But
100% agree.
But make sure you know who's drafting and all the rules, and if your quarterback
right.
get 6 points for a passing touchdown. Because I know a lot of people are drafting this weekend, so this is imperative. Study that stuff first.
So just to piggyback on that, if you're playing in a league that only plays one running back, two wide receivers, or maybe three wide receivers in a flex, you know, when you only have to start one running back, running backs become extremely devalued in that system. So just know that. I know we keep pounding the fact that you want to get running back. But in a one running backs league, man, running backs are extremely devalued. And sleeper running backs really become almost
irrelevant.
So, yeah, to Adam's point, if you're in a three wide receiver league.
Just know your league. What it comes down to.
Yeah. I mean, the standard league is this: two wide receivers, two running backs, and a flex. In that system, running backs have extreme value. If you've got three wide receivers, obviously the wide receiver position becomes extremely valuable as well. And in those situations, I almost do advocate taking quarterback late because you do really want to load up on talented pass catchers and running backs as well. All right, let's move on. Let's talk. I think we got time for a little bit of mailbag.
Yep, let's go. All right,
let's do that.
Quick dabs.
Message for you,
son. All right, Jim Drury asks, better backup to own David Cobb, Lorenzo Taliaferro, or Matt Jones there in Washington? Gentlemen, Marcus Grant, we'll start with you if I can interrupt your draft.
I'm gonna go with David Cobb right now. I mean, I'm big on him. I just drafted him, actually.
Out of baby.
How dare you?
I will say that I was a little bit disconcerted this morning coming in and reading quotes from Sylvester Kroom, the Titans running backs coach, basically saying that he needs to learn how to be a professional and not everybody's on scholarship here and whatever. But I still like what I've seen from him on film. He is the definition of running downhill. And so I think long term, he's the guy who's going to take over that.
Am I weird? I just saw some highlights for David Cobb, man. I don't know why. He looks like a player that should have one of those neck rolls.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he looks in that Titans unit. I don't know why. He looks a little bit like Lorenzo Neal. Am I weird?
Wow.
I don't know why.
That's a nice comparison.
I don't know why I thought that. I just was like, is that Lorenzo? No, it's not. It's David Cobb. I really, really like Matt Jones, man. I don't know why.
He's looked great.
He's looked awesome.
He's looked very good.
He's looked awesome down there.
But I still like Alfred Morris, which is why.
Also true. It's tough. Adam Rank, David Cobb, Lorenzo Taliaferro, Matt Jones.
Cobb is the one I would anticipate being the starter for his team, so
yeah.
It seems to make the most sense to go.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's – does he count as a backup?
Right now,
he does right now, yes, for okay. sure.
But I think they're expected to split.
Listen here, Jim Drury. Bishop Sankey is not the starter.
Okay, very good point. Alex Gelhar, what do you like?
What do I like? Hold on. David Cobb, obviously, Matt – yeah, it's David Cobb's my man.
Other than David Cobb.
I do like Matt Jones a lot. I think Lorenzo Taliaferro's got like an MCL sprain or something right now, which is disconcerting. But Matt Jones has looked great, and I have just a bad – I have a bad feeling. You know, where is that one?
Very bad feeling about this.
I think that Matt Jones could steal a lot of production from Freddie Morris. We all love him. For some reason, the Redskins don't. And
no.
I have a bad feeling that Jones could get not only just a bunch of carries and passes out of the backfield, but goal line work too.
All right, so next mailbag question.
Get that sandwich out of your pie hole and listen up, maggot. It's time for mail call.
Justin Power, J Power 33 asks, should I leave Landry in the flex spot or go with Adams? I'm assuming he's talking about Davante
yes.
Adams. It's a half point PPR.
That's what makes this an interesting question.
It does. Gelhar?
I think if we're talking about the flex and a half point PPR, for the most part, in a half point PPR league, I always treat those like a PPR league.
Yeah.
If you're getting the benefit of added points from receptions,
right.
Favor the guy that's going to get more receptions, and that is Jarvis Landry.
I mean, he's a lock for 80 catches. He's going to push for 100.
He's easily going to push for 100 catches. Tannehill has been favoring him a lot. He's looking for him in the red zone, but he's just that chain mover, and he's the only wide receiver there. Tannehill has so many talented pass catching options. Landry is the only one that he has like a good rapport and a trust with, and you can see him targeting him a lot. So in that instance, we love the upside of Adams, but I got to go with Landry.
I feel like with Adams, he targets him a lot because he wants to get him into the mix early.
That's what's been right now.
I think it was the game that Randall Cobb went down 2 years ago, and they put Jared Boykin in.
Threw to him a bunch, the Ravens
like,
game.
Immediately. Yeah. Like, he threw it to him like 10 consecutive times.
It was legitimately five in a row. They hit him on a screen. He tried him on a slant, like, because Rodgers wanted to be like, hey, I can trust
I
you. Let's get this going.
Yeah, it's the anti-Troy Aikman.
Marcus Grant, what do you think?
I'm definitely going with Jarvis Landry here. I mean, on top of what Alex said, you know, I mean, he is the guy who is the bona fide number one receiver in his sure. offense, whereas Adams is kind of the number two guy at this point. Plus, reading earlier today that they like his red zone work, speaking of Landry, and that they think that his touchdown potential could possibly double this year. So that was
exciting.
That you know, is an added bonus.
That right there is what makes me kind of pick Davante Adams. Look, in a half-point PPR, I don't want to overvalue it too often. It's still, even in a PPR league, touchdowns are king. And I get that. I think Adams, look, is he going to get 80 balls? Probably not. But I think 65 catches is something that's doable for Davante Adams, given the offense. And again, I think 8-9 touchdowns is absolutely well within reach. And I think he's got higher upside than that. The reason it's so close, this one. But the reason I maybe grade Jarvis Landry just a tick down is because I'm not sure, despite all of the preseason rumblings, I don't know that he gets a lot of touchdowns in the upcoming season. Maybe, I don't know, is 5 or 6 sounds about right for a guy like Jarvis Landry? But I'm not exactly sure. You drop the pen, Adam Rank. You don't agree?
No, I don't.
Okay. What do you think you go?
You're going with the guy from Fresno State over the LSU guy?
All right.
Am I right?
Wow.
Am I
right? Wait, we're hating on the Mountain West now? What is this? Right?
Okay. I'm joking, but the one thing, Jarvis Landry is an immense talent.
Yeah.
And if you look back at his work at LSU, he made some amazing catches. And I know I say this often, but I think it bears repeating.
Okay.
That, and I think it was a game against Arkansas. He makes a one-handed grab that had he done it on a Sunday night game, against the Dallas Cowboys, he would be on the cover of Madden. They really love him in Miami.
Yeah.
He is going to have a monster breakout season. I am all about Jarvis Landry in PPR and standard leagues.
Okay.
He steps up this year.
Give me a projection for him very quickly.
I'm going to say 80, 12, 12.
Wow. That's a monster year.
That is monster a monster year. 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns?
Is that not bad?
That's good.
Amazing.
That is
amazing.
That's saucy.
All right, let's do it, man. Let's close out the show. Daily Daps time.
Let's dap it up.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily
Daps and Hub. Give me daps, because I'll be scribbling right.
Give me dapping up, daps about, daps up.
All right, we do the Daily Daps. And, you know, again, I love the fact that we're doing this twice a week. It kind of gives us an opportunity.
It makes it more daily.
It does make it more daily.
Weekly Daps.
Not? Yes, absolutely.
Just not an alliteration. It doesn't sound as good.
Alex Gellhart, can you kick us off?
I think I've dapped this before, but, man, Hannibal on NBC has just been phenomenal. It's one of the best shows on television right now. Nobody's watching it. It's going away. It doesn't sound like anybody else is going to pick it up. But if you like good television, or you were a fan of the Hannibal TV series, or you just want something that's cool and different and beautifully shot and acted on television, check out Hannibal on NBC. Please, just do it for me before it goes away.
There you go.
Show it some love.
Marcus Grant.
Mine is going out to, see, every now and then we do this thing, several of us get together for this thing called High Life Fridays, where basically we get together and we drink the champagne of beers and watch terrible cinema. And so the upcoming edition.
Wait, you guys just sit there and drink Coors Heavies?
Miller High Life.
Champagne.
The champagne of beers.
I see.
And we watch terrible cinema. So the upcoming edition of High Life Friday will feature the film Samurai Cop, which has the distinction of somehow being the worst and best action film of all time.
It's incredible.
It's because they are so sincere in trying to make a good movie.
And they fail so miserably.
It's not like when they made a I'm blanking on one, where you know they're making a campy, cheesy,
like a Sharknado kind of thing.
Yeah, where Sharknado knows, like, this is a terrible movie.
Right.
It's having fun. Samurai Cop is trying to make
to be a good action film.
They're trying to make, like, a...
They want to be Lethal Weapon or something like
that. Yeah, like that. Like, they think that that's what this is going to be.
And it just goes so horribly,
so
comedically wrong.
Terrible.
It is incredible.
Yeah,
so
I love it.
Check it out.
Go look it up.
Adam Wright?
I still want the thanks track from 40 Ounces to Freedom playing when we do this, because I think it would just be much more appropriate. And,
okay.
Bradley.
Maybe we can make that work.
We'll work on
it. It's an homage to Bradley, who I'll give him a daily dap because I appreciate his music. Daily dap to Jack Kirby, who would have had his 98th birthday today, but Stan Lee stole it. Daily dap to Dan Hansis, who invited me to try to win Wes's toaster on the ATL podcast, but thankfully Black Tie stepped in and would not allow it.
Wow.
He shut me down. He's like, I'm going to keep you off a second podcast. So Daps,
breaking news in the Fantasy Life Daily Daps section.
Look at this.
I want to give Daps to NXT. I love that thing. I upgraded my cable at home, so now I watch NXT on the reg, and it's so great. So much better. I don't even know if
I'll
watch
it. Don't you get it on the network, though? Don't you get it on the WWE network?
I know, but you have to have it. You have to have your internet connection up to speed.
Yeah. Otherwise,
no, I would watch, you know, a couple of – I would watch some matches on YouTube. Or however, I don't know if that's illegal.
Whatever.
Do it like that. I want to give Daily Daps to Money and Gelhar. Our commissioner in our NFL Fantasy Live League pushed ahead legislation that we didn't vote on. That legislation was that we were going to get IR spots. And I think our commissioner had it in his mind that he was going to draft Todd Gurley and Aaron Foster. And he got neither one of them because Money and Gelhar stole them. So dap, dap. And dap to Southwest Airlines for having the best app, because I have a Samsung phone, and sometimes it's hard to do a screen grab.
Okay.
But when you check in for your itinerary for Southwest Airlines, it has a button that says take a picture.
Take
of
a
your
screenshot.
Phone. Kabam! Yep. It is so easy. I'm
that
like, you're
nice.
The greatest.
That is nice.
Southwest Airlines, you're the best.
I always like how Rank slides in like 8 daily daps.
You know what? It's funny because the first time he was on this podcast, he had to scramble and find one. And now he's got 9 of them, which I love the fact that you've embraced this, by the way.
Hey, man.
I'm going to give 2 daily daps. The first one will go to my guy Josh here, OkieJ15. He's a regular contributor to me on Twitter, which is great. He asks a ton of questions. I try to get back to him as much as possible. But, you know, he watches the show all the time. He noticed that on one particular show, and I do this all the time, I wear, like, bright-colored athletic socks instead of, like, dress socks. And he caught it. I mean, he called out what kind it was.
Wait, who?
Wow. Like the brand of the sock?
The brand of the sock.
That nailed it.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Oh, and he called it, and I'm like, man, that is some good investigating. And he sent me a twit pic. So daily daps to him just for the fact that he watches it all the time.
Oh, no, and he also listens to this podcast because the tweet before that – he's making a reference
to your Twitter
Rappaport.
Oh boy,
quote tweeting.
That has gotten. I've seen several tweets about that. And actually, because Marcus and I did the NFL Fan League, where we had 10 people sent. We had a bunch of people send in submissions on Twitter for the best responses to get in the league. One of the ones we put in the league was because he said, "I have nothing to add to this retweet." So he made a reference joke to Adam's rant to the podcast. We're like, this guy's got to be in.
So Josh, I'm gonna hit you with a daily dap. I haven't done it for a fan yet. Now
it's, for
Josh. It's very rare that I will do that, but right there, that was good.
He's a great fan.
You know, my second one, here's the thing, man. I was feeling bummed out last week because, you know, I've been reading some negative comments written about me, and I don't know, you know, usually when you get in this business, you have a pretty thick skin. I guess you don't have to have a thick skin, but I have a pretty thick skin about it. I've met plenty of people in this business with thin skins, and I get it. But, you know, I read these comments, and like, I don't know, 99% of the time, I just don't care. Right, but for some reason, when I was reading these comments last week, I just got super bummed out.
Oh man,
never read comment boards.
I hear you, but which I do anyways because I think they're really funny. But
oh, I love.
Oh yeah, it's hilarious.
Right, but that being said, I got really bummed out, you know, and then this tragedy happened in Virginia. WDBJ, I believe, is the station there. A reporter and a photographer shot and killed. Tragic story out of Roanoke, Virginia. It reminded me of where I came from because my roots are in local news, and that's kind of how I came up. I did the whole local news thing for 6 years before I got called up into a network gig, and it really made me appreciate. Because, listen, I'll tell you what, man. I've been out on a story. I've been threatened to be shot. I've filmed a police officer, officer-involved shooting, and seeing someone die on camera. I've been threatened with a gun, a knife, fist fights. People have hurled racial epithets at me. So local news is no joke, man. It's a real grind, and it can be a real grind on you mentally, physically, emotionally. And the fact that, you know, it's finally cut, we're seeing a tragedy here, it just reminded me of kind of where I came from and how actually grateful I am to be where I'm at, to be getting paid to talk about fantasy football. It's the greatest freaking job in the world, and I truly, truly appreciate it. And I know it kind of sucks that a tragedy had to kind of bring that out of me, but you know what? It did. I'm sharing it with the listeners. I hope you appreciate where you're at. Hug the loved one today because, man, this stuff can get pretty serious pretty quick. So
good
there
stuff.
You go.
Well said.
Daily Daps right there. And we're going to get our new – so we're going to a new format here, guys.
It's weekly.
Twice weekly now, Tuesdays.
And Fridays.
Tuesdays and Fridays. So basically you listen to us to get ready for your waiver wire pickups of the week, your free agent pickups, and your daily or your weekly roster reminders as well. So Tuesdays and Fridays.
Next week it's still late.
It's still going to be late, but once the season starts,
early, you'll
it's
going to
be early, baby.
Bright and early in the morning.
You're going to get it nice and early. For
We're getting
right
up
in,
at the crack of dawn for you.
I mean, literally, I'm supposed to be in here at 5 in the morning, West Coast time, so that we can bang out this podcast, and I'm actually looking forward to it, kind of.
It should be fun. I'll like. We'll all be in here. You'll have your quadruple shot from Starbucks. We'll have some cups of coffee.
No joke.
We'll be good to go.
All right,
you guys, have fun with that.
All right.
That's gonna do it for us.
Whoa, that is the news. Excuse me.
That's the news. We're out of here, folks.
No more news.
All right. For Alex Gellhar, Marcus Grant, Adam Marek, I'm James Gell. Peace.